Father, we bless you, Darren. We just speak the word of the Lord to prosper in your mouth, in your heart today. And we just open our hearts to receive what God is speaking in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. We thank the Lord. The Lord is good.
The Lord is good. And since you've got the headset mic on and it's still there, just anytime you want to jump in, just
okay. Yeah, go ahead and jump in. I was planning on that.
I noticed you haven't turned it off yet.
No, I'm gonna leave it off.
So yeah, if you hear a voice and you know where it's coming from, it's not the Lord.
And the Lord speaks from heaven.
I'm just waiting. I'm going to share something, and we're going to hear a voice saying, I'm calling you to go far, far away. Calling you away from this house and your people. Thank you. I'm glad one person said no. Thank you, Paul. Man, got my back. That's awesome. Okay, so a couple things. I'm make sure I get everything situated. You know, not that I'll use every bit of it, but it's good to know where things are. Yeah, today is a good day. Worship was really great this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of worship, the spirit of the prophetic worship that declares your kingdom upon this earth. Thank you, Lord, that you're moving us, and Holy Spirit, you're moving us to praise and worship the Father and to make for him a glorious name upon this earth, upon this region that we're called to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. In just a little bit, we're going to go to a scripture that everybody is really familiar with. What I'm going to share this morning is something that has been kind of bubbling up for me over the past couple weeks. It's something that I shared briefly at the men's breakfast a couple weeks ago. And then with the worship team last week, as we, you know, before service, and you guys are out here praying, we're in there praying, and we're just declaring things over the in the spirit over the service before we come out. I know that's going on out here too, and I think it's really wonderful when all of that prayer and declaration that's been happening, all of that breaking ground in the spirit meets together, and it just makes it so much easier for us. It's so much less work to enter in. Worship shouldn't be work. You know, it should be a joy. And I've told people before, like, you know, if we're exhausted when we get done leading worship, then we probably weren't doing it right. We probably were doing something coming from our natural realm and trying to work something up instead of just resting. Pastor talks about this, is nowhere in my message, by the way, but Pastor talks about this from time to time. Talks about pressing into the Lord. And I feel right now like mentioning that when he's talking about pressing in, our natural instinct is to think, oh, I got to do something harder. I got to worship even harder now, you know, which is not what it means. Because in the kingdom, everything, you know, left is right, up is down. It's all backwards and, you know, it's all weird. But we press into worship not by digging our heels in and moving forward as much as we can, but by letting go of all of that stuff and resting in the presence of God. And from that, the Holy Spirit then can, you know, it's like you've got a garden hose, but there's a clog in it. You know, you can put as much water as you want through that, but only a little bit's going to come out. And the rest of that water is going to be very frustrated and build up a lot of pressure. But if you get rid of the stuff that's blocking that hose, then the pure flow can come out. And that's what we're after. Not just in worship, but an entire life is worship. So that's what we're after in our entire lives, is letting go of the things that we hold on to that clog up the flow of God coming through our lives. We're just vessels for water. That's what we are. And so, I should just be done now because that was pretty good. I'm waiting for the voice to say, yes. Well done. So the thing I'm going to share, that was bonus. The thing I'm going to share is something I shared at the men's breakfast and then with the worship team. So if you've heard this before, you can be dismissed. You're done. The rest of you, though, you have to stay. There they go. They're both bass players. That's why. I got scared that they were going to be mad at me. So you see my hand shaking right there? Bass players. Oh, I can't believe I said that. I'm going to pay for that. Anyway, what I wanted to share has to do not only with our identity as individuals, but our corporate identity here as a body. And it's about balance, and it involves a couple of scriptures that you know and a couple of principles that I'm sure we all know, but every once in a while it's good just to be reminded of some things. So everybody up for that? You up for hearing about identity and purpose? And it helps me so much to know what it is I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know. Lorena and I are alike in that, right? It's like, just tell me what you need me to do, right? Don't leave me guessing and all that. I work so much better when I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know if any of you are like that. Yeah, hands raised, right? It can be frustrating to, it feels like work, you know, it feels like pursuing something, but I don't quite know where I'm going, so I don't know if anything I'm doing is right. So I wanted to talk a little bit about purpose today. And I wanted to go to Isaiah 61. If you could turn there or flip there or scroll there or however you get there. Isaiah 61. And we're going to start right there at the beginning. And I'm reading out of the New King James, which is weird for me. Normally I do the easy to read, but this version I like a lot. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. He sent me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Amen. Right? And at the end of, at the beginning of verse 61, I think, of chapter 61, I think it's great that we're given empowerment and a realization that we're empowered to do something, and then a little list of things that we're empowered to do. And in the end, we know the why, right? We get to verse 3 and it says, "So that the Lord may be glorified." That's great. I love that. That's really good organizational strategy on the part of the Lord. I'm glad he put it in a way that makes sense to me. But I wanted to talk in that. I wanted to talk about our, we've had a lot of focus over the last, you know, several years about, some really key things, some really important things, the love of God, the grace of God, the joy of the Lord, our identity in Christ. And those are all wonderful things. A lot of the things that we've been really focusing on, connection to one another, interacting with people, building community. We know who we are when we're in community with other people. A lot of our focus, a lot of our attention has been over the last, you know, few years about some things that really relate practically to this earth and our interactions with people. And that's wonderful. We should never lose that. But just recently, I was reminded, something I've always known, but I was really reminded and reconnected in a way to another very important part, not only of who I am as a believer, but who we are as a church, who I am as a member of this house. I was reconnected with, you know, through a message that I heard, and it sparked something. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's a part of who we are too. And so I was reminded about a word that Pastor had when he came here in 1984, I think it was, to start what we're all a part of now. And a big part of that was, I'm sending you, anointing you, releasing you to go and take authority in the Spirit in the city of Austin, right? I hope that's not a secret to anybody, right? That big part of our destiny, a big part of our purpose as a church is to, when we say take authority, it almost sounds like we don't know that we have it, like somebody else has it. and we got to go grab it and get it back. So let me phrase it this way. I was recently reconnecting and kind of re-energized with a big focus, a big purpose, a foundational truth of our house, that one of the reasons that we're here is to exercise the authority of God in this region, to establish for the Lord the kingdom of God here in Austin. Lord, let it be in Austin as it is in heaven. Let it be in Central Texas as it is in heaven. That's a part of our mission. And I'm not saying, by saying this and saying I'm really excited about that, I'm not saying that when we talk about the love and the grace and the peace and the joy of God, that that's somehow less. I don't think that's less. I think that's equally important. But I'm seeing now over the last couple of weeks how important it is for us to remember that we do both. We serve both functions. And overarchingly, yes, as a Christian, we serve both of those functions, or at least we should. We are priests of the Lord. And I was going to say we operate in the power and the love of God, right? Which sounds really cool, but it's also kind of misleading because the love of God is the power of God. So if we say we operate in the power and the love, we're kind of skirting around a very important part of who we are. And who we are as priests of the Lord, as people of this house, when you join in here, this is a part of what we join into. This is our collective destiny, is to exercise the authority of the Father in this region, and at the same time exercise the compassion of the Son in this region. And we're priests. That's what priests do, right? And I know you're probably thinking, yeah, duh. But in case you're thinking, yeah, duh, just, I don't know what to do if you're thinking, duh. Just don't, because that makes me feel sad. But as priests of the Lord, that's what priests do. We minister to God, and then we minister to people. We minister to God, we minister to people. But there's two very different mindsets that we have for those. Let's go back to Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives. As I recall, that's what we were doing this morning in worship. That's what we were doing here. That's what I've been just re-energized and re-stirred as whatever capacity I'm leading worship in a particular service. That's what I'm focused on. Let's not make this about us and about how worship feels to us, about how this, you know, it's wonderful. I feel great during worship. But part of the reason I feel great during worship is because it's I'm not putting the focus on me. I don't know if you're like me, but if I put too much focus on me, it starts to get depressing. Maybe that's just me. But as we come into our services, as we give ourselves over to Him, as we give ourselves over to Him, as we let all of the troubles and worries and cares and frustrations and doubts and where am I going and who am I and what am I, as we leave all that stuff at the door and give it a rest, and we come in here, this is a place of the declaring of liberty to the captives. This is where that happens. If you're wondering where that should be happening in Austin, this is where it happens. Where is it that people in Austin are declaring liberty to captives? Here. This is where we do that. This is where we make declarations in the Spirit, and this is where we see things happening that aren't even necessarily geographically here. If you're wondering, you know, where is it that we proclaim the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound? Here. This is where we do that. Where do we proclaim that this is the year of the Lord? Here. This is where that happens. And the day of the vengeance of our God, where the Lord, you know, the Lord exacts justice upon that which would exalt itself against Jesus and exalt itself against His rule on the earth. This is where we proclaim that. But at the same time, that's a beautiful example of the authority that we walk in. We walk in the authority, we're anointed by God to be able to proclaim these things and to see the Lord work in them and to see change happen in the physical world because of what we declared in the spiritual realm. But at the same time, at the end of verse 2, well, where is it in the city? And there are many places, but where in the city can I go if I'm needing comfort? Here. You can do that. You can get that here because we just happen to walk in that as well. That's what he's anointed us to do, to comfort those who are mourning, to console those who are mourning in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for their mourning, to give them a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Do you have something upon you that needs to be broken off so that you can get out of heaviness and you can get released into joy? We do that here. This is a place. It's not the only place, thank God, but this is a place where that can happen. Now, the why, because I really like to know the why. Why is it that the Lord has anointed us to do these things? Why is it that he's anointed us and called our specific body to walk in authority and also compassion? And for me, it comes down to the very, very end of verse 3. That they, those who needed the comfort, those who needed the joy, those who needed to be released from prison, that they may be called trees of righteousness. That those may be called the planting of the Lord. Not the planting of a person. I sat under so-and-so's ministry. I mean, it's not in his heart to say, oh, I sat under Bill Hart's ministry and Bill Hart brought me out of all these things. That's not what he wants. And he's not telling me I'm wrong, so I'm good. I'm on the right track. That's not what I want. You know, I get to sing and I get to lead people in declaring stuff and I get to talk on a mic every now and then. But I don't want for somebody to come in and say, oh man, Darren preached this awesome thing and Darren set me free. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything except just proclaim this to you. Because I don't want somebody to leave this place or somebody that I'm interacting with outside of this place. I don't want somebody to say, man, I'm a tree and I'm planted by Darren. Have you seen my backyard? Some things grow in spite of me because they're really just determined and obstinate to grow. He can't break me. But some things I plant and then they fade away, you know, because I'm not always that great at like watering and fertilizing. Planting I'm good at, right? The water is a problem, right? Maybe it's that clog I was talking about earlier. I don't know. I could get condemned. But I don't want for people to look to me or honestly to look to any of you as a person and say, man, I was planted by that person. That's not our calling. That's not our mission. And that's not what the Lord has for us as a body of believers. We are to walk in authority and in compassion for the sole purpose of the people who he's wanting desperately to touch, to be able to say, okay, I don't remember what happened there, but at some point I met the Lord and I was planted. I was planted by, I can't remember the person's name, so I must have been the Lord. I was planted by the Lord. And he can be glorified in that. And he can be glorified in that. That's who we are, not only as an individual, but as a church. I want to share just a paraphrased version of something. Is it okay if I share this, Gina? All right. A paraphrased version of something that Gina was seeing in worship 2 weeks ago, I think it was. We were singing, all of us together singing a song. And it was there was a spontaneous song about every nation, every tribe, every tongue will confess that he is Lord, right? Declare that he is Lord. And we all began singing that. And during worship, I kind of want to have the kind of experience that you were having during worship when I'm in worship, because people see really cool, crazy things. And I feel like, man, that was there. I totally missed that. That would have been great too. But so as we were worshiping, Gina was seeing in the spirit, and the Lord was taking her to different places, not just in our city, but around our nation and around the world. He was taking her and seeing things and bad things going on in these places. It wasn't like the kind of, you know, happy joy vision of, oh, the Lord, this is beautiful, this is wonderful. The Lord took her to some bad places and she saw people doing bad things. But in the midst of that, while we were worshiping here, there was a light in those dark places that was coming up out of the earth. And that was the groundswell of the worship offered in this place. Because you know there's no time and there's no distance in the Spirit, right? So we can sing here, we can declare here, we can exercise the authority of the Lord over this place, you know, and walk in that he's called us to walk in, exercising the authority, declaring release to the captives, declaring joy for the oil of joy for heaviness and you know, dancing instead of mourning. All that we can declare that stuff here, but that doesn't mean it stays here. Panning and wood paneling can't hold in the praises of God. Drywall can't stop the Spirit of the Lord. Right? So it doesn't stay here. But what I loved about that vision was that as we were singing here, it wasn't like we're taking worship and we're just kind of lobbing it. And we're going to worship from outside here and hopefully it's going to reach over there. No. We were singing here. We were declaring here. We were worshiping here. And at that instant, it was coming up from the earth over there. It wasn't like we were throwing it and hoping it would land. It wasn't like praise grenades, you know, or the RPGs of the Lord. It wasn't that. It was, we're singing here, and at that instant, over there, a light shines. That's who, now I'm conflicted. Do I give that to Gina or not? Because that's like, that needs to be on the mic probably. I hear in the front room, the church. There you have it. Missed opportunity. You should have the mic on. I know, right? So it makes me so excited. And drives me to pursue now with a renewed passion who I know we're supposed to be as a body. And not just as an individual. I'm about to, in just a moment, I'm going to declare over you as individuals. I'm going to declare Isaiah 61 over you. And I want you to receive it when I declare it over you. But then we're going to declare it together as a body over this house. Because it's not just who you are, it's who we are, right? And I'm so excited when I hear, when the Lord is reminding me, okay, it is about compassion, and that's wonderful. And reaching people one-on-one is beautiful, and that's what I want you to do. But think also about your impact in the Spirit, and how when you declare things in the Spirit, you can reach one in the physical, but you can pull down principalities and powers in the Spirit and reach thousands today if you want. Is that what you want? Is what the Lord is challenging us with. Is that what you want? And it is. And I say sometimes, you know, Cheryl will tell me this sometimes, it's not either or, it's both and, right? Anybody ever heard Cheryl say that to you before? It's not either or, yes. It's both and. And this is a both and. The Lord is asking us, do you want to go and minister to the broken one-on-one and see someone's face and know that the Lord used you physically to touch someone's life and that you two can glorify him together? Do you want that? And I believe our answer should be yes, we want that. But then when he's asking us, do you want to exert the authority and the influence that I have anointed you with to declare into a region and to see principalities fall and to see thousands affected in a day? Do you want that? And I believe our answer is yes to that. I think that that's who we are. And it gives me so much, it gives me so much joy, but not the kind of joy that's like happy, I want to rest in the joy. The kind of joy that's like, I'm buzzing on the inside. The joy of knowing your purpose and your destiny and your calling. You can't beat that. You can't beat that. I'm a guy who loves to know, what do you want me to do? This is what he wants me to do. And which reminds me of something that I shared in men's group as well. I liken it now to you know, there's this thing that happens sometimes in the NFL where we'll certain players, once they reach a certain status, they're making a certain amount of money, they decide, well, I really got to save my body. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to put myself in danger. I'm saving myself for the playoffs. I'm going to take some plays off. I'm not going to go as hard as I need to go. I'm going to maybe avoid that contact. I'm going to really just play it safe and save myself for the next thing. But recently, after having been reinvigorated with this passion to accept this calling of exerting the authority and the compassion of God in this region, I think, well, we don't take plays off now. We can't. We don't take plays off. We, more than anything, I want to be known as a people who is devoted to what the Lord has called us to. I'm devoted to that. So I'm not resting. I'm not taking a day off from, you know, or taking a play off. You know, I don't like this song, so I'm probably not going to sing. That doesn't matter. Sometimes I don't like the song either. I got to be real honest. But we sing it because it's powerful and because it declares something we need to declare, right? You know, I know I should be listening to this message, but I really got to answer this text. We don't take plays off. We don't take plays off. You know, I sound like Jennifer right now. I do. It's the influence of the wife and the Holy Spirit upon a man. But you know, we're all in. We're all in. God is saying, do you want to be an instrument of exercising the authority of the kingdom in this region? And I say yes. Do you want to be an instrument of exercising the compassion of the Son and the Spirit in this region? And I say yes. So let me declare this over you. Let me declare this. This is identity, identity, identity. This is who you are. This is what he's called you to do. I think it's got to be good enough because Jesus said this is who he is. Right? You skip ahead in the New Testament and Jesus read half of it and said, the scripture's been fulfilled in your hearing. This is what I do. This is who I am. Mic drop. It's Jesus. Right? So if it was good enough for Jesus, I think it's good enough for me to declare it over us. So just receive however you need to receive, but I'm declaring this in the Spirit over you today. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you because the Lord has anointed you to preach good news to the poor. He has sent you to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom to the captives. He sent you to proclaim the opening of the prison to those who are bound. He's anointed and he's sent you to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. He has sent you and anointed you to comfort all those who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, to give them the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that they could be called trees of righteousness and a planting of the Lord, so that he may be glorified. I declare this over you today. This is who you are. This is who he's called you to be. This is what he has anointed and equipped you to do. And declare this over you and seal it in the name of Jesus. David, can we put Isaiah 61:1, New King James, up on the screen? I think let's declare this as a body. Can we do that? And when we say me, we mean us, right? We're speaking as the church. So let's declare it all together. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Keep going. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord
and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, let's give Him praise. I think that's what I need to share today. Thank you, Lord.